KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Tlenedi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once a source of food, a place to maintain smokehouses, and a place to gather driftwood for fuel. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways, and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gnathchish to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place-specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas. And Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are so grateful to all of those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. When it comes to connecting people with resources, the Juno Community Foundation is kind of a matchmaker and often a problem solver. Here to talk more about that is Amy Skilbred, the Executive Director for the Juno Community Foundation. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Shelley.
And Jamie Waste, Program Director. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. Thank you both for being here today. You're both here to talk about some funding opportunities that are currently or soon to be available from your foundation. So let's dive right in. What is first up on your list and who wants to start?
Yeah, this is Amy. I'm going to begin with a couple of grants that we've recently given out. And really, thanks to the community and everyone's generosity, we raised over $320,000 in our COVID-19 community assistance fund. And the last round of grants that we had went out just recently. We released $5,129 for Haines assistance as they faced the challenge of COVID and the natural disaster. And then $10,000 we gave to the Southeast Food Bank operations for food purchases. And the food bank manager indicated that they've seen an increase in the demand for additional food, and they welcome donations from individuals and businesses. And have food drives throughout the year to assist with keeping food on the shelves. Then $10,000 went to the weekend food backpack program for students, and $10,000 to the teen health center at the Juno High Schools that support additional counselor time. And the final grant that we gave out was $4,000 to support youth transportation to activities, and that's being distributed by the Zach Gordon Youth Center, helping to get young people back to participating in activities and getting out there.
That's wonderful work. You guys must be really pleased about being able to distribute all that money to such great causes and organizations and individuals. How did folks find out about those grants? How did they connect with you in order to secure those resources?
Well, we've been reaching out to social service organizations ever since the COVID-19 first popped up in March, and we give out about $2 million in social service funds between the Juno Community Foundation's Hope Foundation and the CBJ Social Service Fund. And so between those two and then last year giving out the CARES Act funds for nonprofits, just kept in touch with different organizations throughout the entire, from the emergency to the response and to the recovery stage, which hopefully, knock on wood, we're now entering.
I know these last couple of years, last year and a half, they've been unusual. Have you been dealing with larger amounts of grant money than you would normally?
Yes, because we helped with giving out the CARES Act funds, and that was $3 million to all nonprofits in Juno. And then this community fund that came together and folks in Juno donated $320,000 that's another chunk of funding that we've pushed out the door as well. So,
And with a pandemic or without a pandemic, folks will still be needing assistance. So I understand you have a few additional opportunities that are coming up that you wanted to talk about on the show today.
Well, I'll jump in here. This is Jamie. So, our ability to respond on behalf of the community during the pandemic was we were pleased to see the community kind of trusting in the foundation to send donations and to, you know, assist as we could. Putting the pandemic off to the side, we're very committed to building community endowments that are going to support the community in perpetuity. So in different areas, there's the health and social service area that Amy already talked about. There's arts and culture, there's youth and education, there's parks, trails, and recreation. And in the last couple of years, we've had some visibility there that through the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Fund. We raised funds to build the Hilda Dam Cabin up at Eagle Crest. We secured major funding to complete the renovation of the Treadwell Ditch Trail. We've worked with the Rotary Clubs of Juneau on fixing up the Marriott Trail in the Lemon Creek area. And our most recent grant from the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Fund is actually to Glacier Valley Rotary Club. They're the kind of the community partner with the Riverside Rotary Park. And they've got a master plan, and they're looking to make major improvements, one of which they're completing literally right now. It's the completion of a brand new, much larger, new and improved shelter. It's one of the busiest, heavily most used parks, playgrounds in Juneau. So we were pleased to be able to assist with funding there. It was a $10,000 grant. And it's just an example of what we hope this endowment will do in the future for generations to come, which is be a vehicle for financial assistance to help improve parks and neighborhoods such as this one. Real quickly, Saturday's 9/11, they have the annual memorial service out there. And I think it's the first time that the shelter itself will kind of be publicly, you know, acknowledged as a completed project. So we're pleased to have been able to assist financially. But the most important component here is it's a good project. It's a really good partner, the Rotary Club. And so our ability to help them complete this project was a pleasure on our part. So we hope to do more of this in the future, and with donor support over time, we will be able to do so.
Well, I'm very glad to hear the shelter is going to be open this Saturday. That sounds like it's very timely and meaningful. When it comes to accepting the money from these endowments, from these grants, managing it, distributing it, what is that decision-making process like for you and your staff?
Yeah, we have different funds. We have different decision-making processes. The Juneau Hope Endowment and Social Service Funds, we have a couple months, usually beginning about January 1st, where there's letters of interest that we receive, and then there's applications, and then we have a professional advisory committee that reviews both the letters of interest and the applications, and then awards are made by the end of April. And so that's looking at providing funds to specific areas in the social service, homelessness, health, mental health, victims of violence, and suicide prevention, substance use and abuse. And so we're working with folks on that, with nonprofits every day and all throughout the year. And then as new projects come up, and they really present to us what the new projects are and the needs that they see in the community. And then we look to see if we can fund what we were funding and continue to fund more. We also have donor advised funds where the donors select what they would like to do with the funds, and some of them run grant processes. And then I'm going to hand it over to Jamie for the Arts Vibrancy Endowment.
So that would be an example of where donor advisors are helping to make not only raise the money, but turn around and distribute the funds. So just real quickly, the Arts Vibrancy Endowment, that is a source of funding now to support local artists in Juneau. We have the Individual Artists Awards Grant Program, which debuted in 2020. We've had two successful grant rounds to date. Eight different local artists representing different art forms and idioms received grants in the range of $2,000 to $2,500 to help them pursue their dreams, if you will. locally, you know, creating art. We're very excited about this because it we're helping to bring additional funding to the arts sector of the community. And one of the local donors who's really keen on this earlier this summer contacted us and offered a matching grant, a challenge grant, dollar-for-dollar match of up to $145,000. And we were really kind of blown away by that. We thought this is a very exciting opportunity to grow this endowment. Very happy to say that we're almost to $145,000. We're just $3,000 short at this point. And this donor put a time limit on it, and the deadline is actually this Friday. So, Shelley, it's very nice that we're on the radio to talk about this right now, because if anybody is interested in contributing to this grant program that's supporting local artists, your donation will be matched right now, dollar for dollar. And you can go online to the website, the foundation website, or put a check in the mail. Either will work.
Yeah, and Jamie, when's the next opening for applying for a grant from the Arts Vibrancy Endowment?
Yeah, it's coming up. It's October 15th. So anybody who's not aware of this, again, go to our website, and it's pretty easy to find the application information about the Individual Artists Award Program. But the deadline is October 15th for the next round of applicants.
And what's the application process like for those who are out there listening and thinking about applying?
We don't think it's very rigorous. I mean, it's comprehensive enough, but I think if somebody took 5 minutes just to go online and read what's required, it's pretty straightforward. If anybody's ever applied for a grant before, it's pretty, you know, what's your budget, what's the project title, description, how's the money going to be used, things like that.
Well, one of the things that I often do is encourage folks and nonprofits to reach out to us if they have any questions, if they have something that they'd like to see if they can get a grant for, to let us know, and also to talk to us. Like if you're applying for a Hope CBJ grant, what's the project? And we'd be happy to talk with you about how it fits.
Great. Amy Skilbred, Jamie Wace of Juno Community Foundation, thank you both so much for your time, for talking with me today, for sharing all that great information. Was there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners today?
Just a real quick, it's a required minimum distribution time for many people who are in 70 and a half or 72, depending on their birthday. And just to make a plug that they can give up to $100,000 as a qualified charitable distribution. And we're happy to assist folks in figuring that out if they don't know it. And we have, it's just a way to give to every nonprofit, including K2. So.
All right. Well, thanks for the plug there. Appreciate the time speaking with both of you. And thanks so much for being on the show today. I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Shelley.
You too. Thank you, Shelley.